Well, something made the news as being very surprising yesterday. IU won their game against, is it the Ohio State? Yes. Did I get the Ohio State correct? I think I got that. All right. IU won kind of unexpectedly is what it seemed like. They're having a great year, aren't they? Some other thoughts about something unexpected. Some years ago, I was traveling to Denver, Colorado for a church event. And I flew in, and when I got in the airport, I was greeted by a voice I did not expect. It was the voice of Peyton Manning. Yeah. After having him be in Indianapolis for so long, to walk through the Denver airport and hear Peyton Manning's voice was a shock and a surprise. And even more, what shocked me as well is that he was also promoting the Children's Hospital in Denver. And he didn't say Riley every time that he was promoting the Children's Hospital. And it just was like, this is not right. Something is wrong with the world that Peyton Manning is in Denver. It was surprising. It was uncomfortable. It was unexpected. Once in a while, we have things in our lives that make us wonder whether God forgot to tell us the plan. Something unexpected, maybe even unfortunate, happens, and we're left scrambling. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1. And in here, Joseph has some unexpected news, something that gets him to scramble and try to figure out how to deal with something that he had not expected, something that made him very uncomfortable. How about we pray? We'll get into the sermon this morning. Lord, as we read through your word today and we go over those words that we've heard so many times in our lives, I pray, Lord, that these words will be ones that resound within us, that we'll take them more deeply and meditate on them more sincerely so that we might more deeply and more knowledgeably understand the will of you in our lives and in the world. Lord, we pray for your guidance and mercy this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 begins the more narrative part about Jesus' birth. The first few verses, verses 18 and 19, speak of the conception of Jesus Christ. It reveals about him things that would not have been known otherwise. Here is how the first two verses read. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Here, Jesus' conception is revealed. God's plan begins to unfold, though he has not been mentioned yet. You see, Joseph was going to be marrying this young lady named Mary, but he forgot to tell Joseph what the plan was. They had their marriage arranged, as so many marriages were at the time, and yet before they were about to go through the marriage ceremony, Mary is pregnant. Mary has a baby, and it isn't his. God forgot to tell Joseph. So as a result, Joseph begins to scramble. He begins to try to figure out how to solve this crisis on his own. Do you ever feel like God forgets to tell you his plan? That you're left surprised, trying to figure out what you're supposed to do when something happens unexpectedly, something that you didn't know was coming, and you have to solve it on your own? Joseph is doing that. The conception has happened, the baby is there, and Joseph has to react. Joseph has built a life, time and time, year after year, decade after decade, choosing the right thing to do, choosing to do what God has said in his word, And so he has built for himself a righteous life, a series of choices made year after year where he has done the thing that God says to do. And so confronted in this situation with a fiance who is pregnant and not by him, the righteous thing that he feels he's called to do is to divorce her, to not get married. Joseph goes a little beyond what is required in his mind, and he does something compassionate as well. He makes a decision to have this divorce quietly, without any announcements and fanfare, just to do it small, unseen, so as not to bring great disrepute upon his fiance. This conception, this baby there that she is bearing, is not his. But God has another plan. God is going to share with him what he does not know, so that Joseph might have a role and responsibility in the life of this new baby. So God reveals to Joseph his plan, so that the plan of salvation might be unveiled. Here are verses 20 and 21. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph finds out his role. His role is to stay in the life of this baby that Mary is going to give birth to. He even has to give the child a name. But God reveals also that this conception, that this birth is like none other that has ever occurred. God explains that this child came not about not from a human father, and it's not Joseph's child, but it is God's son, God's child. The angel reveals that Mary is pregnant through the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit of God that has brought about Jesus. God has brought about special births and purposes in the past. The patriarch Isaac was born of a special situation. Joseph, he also was born to a mother who couldn't conceive, and yet God provided for his birth to happen. Even Moses' birth and life were of a special situation. His mom gave birth to him and placed him in a basket and sent him down the river to be picked up. Samson was born to parents who couldn't have a baby. Samuel was born to a mother who couldn't conceive. John the Baptist was the only child of two very aged parents. Each of these births had a special situation where God intervened and made birth possible. But this, what is happening here in the life of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, is completely different. It is unique. It is one of a kind, because he is going to be a one of a kind person. Jesus is born without any human father, because God's purpose is that we might see him as God's son, that it might be known that he is not a human being in the traditional sense, but instead is God's son wrapped in human flesh. Joseph's role is to be in this family, to be a father to a child not his own. But Joseph's role also involves naming him. The father was expected to provide the name that he is given comes from God himself. The name would be Jesus. This name reveals Jesus' purpose. His miraculous birth tells us that there's something special and unique about what's going on to him. But his name reveals what he is coming to do, what he is called on and will accomplish by the power of God. Jesus' purpose is that death would find its demise. That name Jesus, as Matthew describes it, tells us that Jesus will save his people from their sin. Sin brings about death. When we sin and when people sin, death is the natural result. But Jesus came to save us from that, to save God's people and those who believe in him from death. So that death might have a demise. So that even though death might have its moment in a life, that it would not ultimately prove to be the eternity that we experience. Death would be taken care of. Death would ultimately be undone. Jesus' purpose is revealed by his name, because he came to save his people from their sins. Jesus' name is also God's great joy. God's great desire is that we would praise the name of his Son, that the name of Jesus might be celebrated and known all over the world. God's great joy is that his Son might receive glory and honor because of what he is accomplishing in us and what he is saving us from. The name of Jesus is also humanity's highest hope. That at the name of Jesus, that we have a victory over what we could not have done on our own. A victory over the greatest foe in our lives. So that we might not have eternal death, but might have instead eternal life. About the name of Jesus, Charles Spurgeon writes this. He says, "We write Jesus' name upon our banner, for it is hell's terror, heaven's delight, and earth's hope." He has this name, Jesus, so that we might understand his purpose and role in our lives, and that he might be the one in whom we find the greatest source of life and joy, so that in his death our sin might be taken care of, and in his resurrection we might have eternal life. Salvation was unveiled to Joseph. He was clued in and given the understanding of what this baby was going to be about. Matthew adds for us a little detail in the next couple of verses. Because this was not some plan out of the blue, but instead, God had given prophecy before, words in the Old Testament, so that the revealing of his Son might not go unnoticed. Prophecy is fulfilled. Verses 22 and 23. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Isaiah's words help to give this conception explanation. This was something God had planned before, long before Joseph was ever born. The conception was to be something that God worked out, that a virgin would give birth. The words to Joseph confirm the words that were given to Isaiah so long ago, and that these things are a sign and a proof that Jesus is exactly who God said he would be. But more importantly, it also gives us the understanding that Jesus is more than just a human being. Isaiah says that the one who would be born to the virgin would be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel is more than a name, it is a title. God with us. It points to and reveals Jesus' divine nature, that he is indeed the second person of the Trinity, the part of the Godhead, the capital S, Son of God. It reveals and points to his divine nature so that we might know that he is more than just a human child, more than just some sort of prophet, more than just some sort of good works person. He is indeed God. These things have been revealed to Joseph so that he might have his faith in Jesus, so that he might put his trust in this baby who was born. And so we see that faith is being enacted. We see faith spurring Joseph on to make the choices and follow God even in this most difficult of circumstances. We see Joseph's faith enacted in verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph had lived his years following God's commands, doing his best to do what God had told him. And so when this moment came, when the opportunity came for God to tell him the next thing he needed to do, he did it. He had trained himself year after year to do what God wanted. We see in Joseph's actions a model of faith, a model of taking God at his word and following what he says. But this required something of Joseph. It required something of him that is often also required of us. And that is that Joseph had to change his mind. He'd already lived his life in this righteous way, and he'd made up his mind about how he was going to respond to Mary's pregnancy. But instead, he had to conform his actions and his thoughts to what God was now saying to him. Joseph was ready. He had trained himself for years to follow what God was telling him. But he had to change his mind. You see, this baby that Mary had inside of her, Joseph thought was illegitimate. He thought the child was one who deserved to be cast out, pushed along, left behind. But he had to change his mind. He had to come to believe and understand that this baby wasn't illegitimate. This baby was the Messiah. This baby was legit king of God's people. That this baby was God in the flesh. Joseph had to change the way he thought about Jesus so that he could enter into this new salvation and remain a righteous person before God. The truth is, many people need to change their minds about Jesus. Many people think that Jesus is a good person who did nice things, but that's the extent of what they believe. Others think that Jesus was a wise teacher who told us nice things to live by. Still others might even say that Jesus was a prophet, or maybe they think he was a fraud. But like Joseph, we have to come to terms with who Jesus is. We have to change our minds sometimes so that Jesus can be the legit ruler of your life and my life. If Jesus is who he says he is, if he is who the Bible claims him to be, then he needs to be the ruler and king of us. That his words need to have more than just wise feelings about them, but should conjure for us responsibilities, righteous actions, words to live by. Sometimes people think that Jesus is just a good person or a nice teacher. But in reality, Jesus demands our worship. Jesus expects to be the ruler of our hearts and our lives. Every year, we need to take a fresh look at the Nativity. Every year, we need to take a fresh look at Jesus' birth. We will find that sometimes it will challenge us, and sometimes it will remind us. So that we can see Jesus and know Jesus for who he is. So at Christmas time, it's all right to be surprised by the things that Jesus tells us to do. It's okay to be uncomfortable with who Jesus is. Because it's an opportunity for us to realign ourselves and realign our lives to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior of the whole world. So that we, like Joseph, coming to terms with the truth of what God has revealed, must maybe change our minds so that we might find ourselves following God and being in that group of the saved. Some years ago, Bono did a few interviews. He interviewed for a book in which he talked about his faith. I'm not sure that Bono started out his young life believing in Jesus and following him, but over the years, Bono became an apologist, telling the world about his Savior. Bono, of course, is one of the founders of U2. And when it came to Christmas, Bono was emphatic about the truth that we all must confront. Bono shared that he felt that the concept of the incarnation and that God was manifest as a child had a profound expression of love that he could not ignore. That God would come and take on human flesh is not something that allows us to keep our secular opinions about Jesus, about him being merely a prophet or a good person. That God would come and send his son is an expression of God's great love, Bono said. The Christmas story illustrates how much God loves us. The logic of the incarnation, Bono saw as an inevitable manifestation of love. But Bono also emphasized that grace was really the point. Many times, Bono's made the comments about the difference between grace and karma. Karma is you get what you deserve. You get what's coming to you, and what you have done in your life comes back. But grace is entirely different. Grace is essential. As Bono says, I'm holding out for grace. Because I know who I am, and I hope I don't have to depend on my own religiosity. Lastly, he also mentions that you can't simply approach Christmas with a simple human interpretation. He says the secular view of Jesus is that he is just some great prophet or person. But Bono rightly says, Christ Jesus doesn't let you off the hook with something so simple. the very nature of the incarnation, of God becoming a human being, confronts us and pushes us to come to terms with who this baby is. He is the Savior of the world. He is God with us. And our lives must change around it. Lord, we pray that as we think about Christmas this year, we think about your birth and all of the wonderful things that go on. We pray, Lord, that we would be reminded of your greatness, that you are not just a special baby or a pretty scene, but that you are the very person of God who lived and walked here with us, that you are the very person of God who went to the cross and died for our sin, that you are the very person of God who was raised from the dead and we hail as the conquering king for all eternity, that you are the person of God that we have put our hope and our trust in. Lord, may your life and your words be the things around which we center our lives. Because, Lord, we want you to be Lord and Master and ruler of who we are. And like Joseph, we take your word seriously so that we might change our minds. Lord, as we come to Christmas this year, may we be reminded of its importance and its centrality in our lives. Because in Christmas, God sent his one and only Son. Lord, help us to keep the purpose and meaning of Christmas central this year. Amen.